They'll bring one round to you. And this is an extract from a letter. So Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read in the first 11 verses. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Let's pray before we look at those words together. Our Father in heaven, we've just read some wonderful, glorious words. Please open our eyes just a little bit more to the glory of Jesus this morning, we pray. Amen. I wonder how 2023 has been going for you. As you look back over the last 8.5 months or so, I wonder what comes into your mind. Maybe there'll be some particular ups that come into your mind. A promotion, a new job. Maybe there's just that one particular highlight. Time away that you had earlier in the year. Just a really uplifting conversation that you're kind of still running off a high from. Seeing an old friend after many years. Part of work that you've been laboring on for ages finally coming to fruition. There might have been some ups. There's almost certainly, for most if not all of us, been some downs this year. Hard things you've had to face at work. Tense family relationships that you've had to navigate. Maybe you face bereavement and grief this year. Maybe the overwhelming emotion that you felt this year is anxiety, not so much for yourself, but for the future of those close to you. Maybe this year has been defined by a chronic sense of loneliness. For most of us, I guess this year has probably been, like every other year, a mix, some ups and some downs. For some of us, it might have just felt like a year of down after down. How's 2023 been going for you? How has 2023 been going for you when it comes to being like Jesus? Why am I asking you that question? Well, what we do is, it's our habit as a church, is in January and February every year, we pick a verse, a vision verse for the year. And we spend a few weeks thinking about kind of topics related to that verse, an idea that we want to embody more and more as a church family. For those who weren't here back in January, February this year, the verse we chose is the verse that's behind me. In your relationships, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Because as God's people, we are called to be like Jesus. And then what we sometimes do as a church family, kind of come September, a few months on from that series, is just take one Sunday to reflect on how that's been going, to remind ourselves what we learned and think together about how we're doing and ways we can grow further into that vision. That means today's sermon won't feel normal, in a sense. One way of describing today is six sermons in one sermon, which is quite a challenge. For those of us who have been here all year, it might be that January and February just feel so long ago. So much has happened since then, and those things that we found helpful back then, whatever they may have been, may have just dropped from our minds. Let's come back to that question. How has 2023 been when it comes to being like Jesus? A few different ways you could answer that, I guess. Maybe you're wary of saying it out loud because you don't want to sound boastful or arrogant in any way, but actually it's been going quite well. By no means perfectly. But actually, all glory to God, by the work of his Spirit, you have seen growth this year. Growth as God's word has come to you and you've been challenged and you've put it into practice. Maybe particularly the series through James was helpful for that. Maybe growth with one another, you've kind of been sharpening one another, you've been encouraging one another, you've been challenging one another, and that has caused you to change some of your sinful habits. Maybe this year the Lord has grown you through suffering. That's often what he does. Maybe your answer to that question, how's this year been going when it comes to being like Jesus, is honestly, I'm not really sure. Because often it's hard, you're the person who finds it hardest to judge for yourself, aren't you? If you're not really sure, why not ask someone close to you? Ask for some of the ways that you've grown this year. I bet they've noticed some that you haven't. Maybe your answer to that question, how's this year been going in being like Jesus, is awfully. Whether it's a regular pattern of sin that you just don't seem to be able to break, or whether there was just that one action, that one moment, that one thing you did that clouds everything this year, that you can't see past. How's this year been going in being like Jesus? As an aside, overarchingly, I'm encouraged by what I see. I have the privilege of sitting with many of you and hearing what the Lord's doing, and he is doing things here. You are growing to be more and more like Jesus. But it's useful to have a reminder, isn't it? To be reminded that the call for Christians is to be more and more like our Saviour. Because it's easy to let that call slip to the sides. It's easy to think God cares more about busyness for him than holiness like him. Easy to think God cares more about what we're doing than how we're living. So the aim of this morning is to remind us afresh of that vision that God has for his people. And this afternoon in discussion groups, we'll be talking a bit together about how we're going, where we're struggling, where we're growing, and encouraging one another. Three big things we're going to see this morning. Becoming like Jesus flows from being in Jesus. Becoming like Jesus flows from being in Jesus. That has to be the start point. That's where we started back in January. Here's a couple of quotes from a book from that sermon. The song of discipleship without union with Christ becomes a joyless duty, a never-ending hill that can leave you exhausted. Unless you grasp and live out your union with Christ, the call to holiness will be oppressive, unbearable, and impossible. Wonder if for you being like Jesus does ever feel like a joyless duty. Wonder if it ever feels exhausting, oppressive, unbearable, impossible. Without remembering that we have first been put in Jesus, united to him by faith, that is how it will feel. Because being like Jesus is not about trying harder. It's not about doing it in our own strength. It is an outworking of what God has already done for us. This language of union with Christ is so precious. And it's there for us in Philippians chapter 2. Let's start with our vision verse. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That's the headline call of these verses. Trace back the logic with me. Verses 1 to 4 have a pretty simple structure. There's an if, and then there's a then. Actually, there's a lot of ifs and a lot of thens, but basically there's an if and a then. The then is just a more detailed kind of fleshing out of what we see in summarized then in verse 5. A call to be like-minded, to not do things out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, to value others higher than yourself. That's the call in verses 2 to 4, summarized in verse 5. That's the then. But the then is based on a condition. It is based on an if. It is based, in fact, on four ifs. Let's run verse 1 back through from end to start. If there's any tenderness or compassion, that is, if we feel positively towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, which we should because we have common sharing in the same Spirit. We together have been brought as one by the Spirit who unites us. If there's any comfort from God's love, which all of those who have come to know Jesus receive, the love of God shown to us in Christ. And then the headline if, the start point. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. United with Christ, so live this way. What God has already done, so do this. For Paul, it always comes back to this. It always comes back to what God has already done, and particularly that God has united us to his Son. That is the basic identity of every Christian. If you've got your Bibles open, just look at Philippians 1, verse 1 with me. It's on the same double page. You don't need to turn anywhere. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's people, holy people, in Christ Jesus at Philippi. There are two locations in there. One of those locations is central. One of those locations is incidental. It's incidental that these people are at Philippi. That might change. They might move house. There is one location that is central to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus. That is what defines us. We are those who are in Christ Jesus. Being like Jesus flows from being in Jesus. Why does Paul think that? Because Jesus thought that. We spent quite a lot of time earlier this year in John chapter 15. Here are just a few words from that chapter. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. What does that mean for our relationship with Jesus? Three headlines. Our relationship with Jesus is incredibly close. It could hardly be any closer. Can you think of a closer relationship than a vine to its branches? What is in the vine is in the branches, the same sap, the same nutrients, and so on. If it's in the vine, it's in the branches. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus is close. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus is not static. It is a constant source of nourishment. Because what doesn't happen is the vine says to its branch one day, right, here's a lump sum of everything you need to live. I've given it all to you now, work it out yourself. Use it when you need to. No, it is a constant source of nourishment. Our relationship with Jesus isn't static. It's lively, it's life-giving, it's ongoing. And it is necessary. Because a branch without a vine is only going one way. It's going to wither, shrivel, and die. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you want to be like Jesus, it's not possible unless you are in Jesus, attached to the vine. But for those who are attached to the vine, do you see what will happen? Verse 6, verse 8, you will bear much fruit. You bear much fruit. which at least in part, if not entirely, is talking about how we live our lives. If you want to live out the call to be like Jesus, that call that is on every Christian, start here. Don't start by drumming up confidence and strength in yourself. It won't work. Start by reminding yourself that you are in Jesus, that you are the branches, and he is the vine. And when we do that, when we come back to drawing from the source, drawing from the vine, we find the help that we need. Because, secondly, becoming like Jesus cannot be done alone. Becoming like Jesus cannot be done alone. If you stop and think about it for a minute, the bar that God sets for us, be like Jesus, that is so high. Like impossibly high. It's like he's asking us to clear the Olympic pole vault without a pole. It's not possible. I mean, think about it. Jesus is the only person who has ever lived perfectly. And you and I are called to live like that. Earlier in the year, we thought about this in three different areas. We thought about the fact that we are called to be humble like Jesus. That's what Philippians 2 is doing for us. Think about what we're told of Jesus in Philippians 2. He's in the very nature God. He is God. And yet he doesn't consider that something to be used to his own advantage. He doesn't sit on his rights. He doesn't demand privileges. He doesn't just put his feet up in heaven. No, he makes himself nothing. He comes to earth. He takes the form of a servant. He is made in human likeness. That's humility, isn't it? Not sitting on our rights, but giving them all up for the sake of others. And he goes further. Not just coming to earth, but humbling himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's what Jesus did. That's the humility he exhibited. He could have just sat in heaven in comfort. But he comes to earth, and he comes to die. And not just any death. A humiliating death. That's humility. That's what he did for you. And you're called to be like that. You're called not just to be humble like Jesus, you're called to love like Jesus. This is what John tells us. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. It wasn't taken from him. It wasn't an accident. He willingly went to the cross. He willingly poured out his life to death, suffering in unspeakable ways, so that you and I don't have to face the penalty our sin deserves, because he has paid it for us. He laid down his life for you, and you ought to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters. Like the Olympic pole vault bar without a pole. We can't do that, can we? We're not just to be humble like Jesus. We're not just to love like Jesus. We also saw that we are to endure suffering like Jesus. Because in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're told that Jesus suffered. We were told that we are called to this because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He willingly takes that suffering for us and then sets a pattern of suffering for us to follow. Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus says. The bar is so high. And yet that is what we are called to. Maybe that leaves you feeling utterly helpless. Maybe it makes you feel like you just want to give up because what is the point? I cannot do that. I cannot live that well. That's the point. You can't. But we've not been left on our own. Instead, God has given us a helper. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul speaks about his ministry and he goes on to say this, we all, that is every Christian, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, that is, who have been moved from death to life by the recreating work of God's Son, are being transformed into God's image with ever-increasing glory. That comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As we behold Jesus' glory, we are transformed, we are changed, we are made different, we are made into his image increasingly with ever-increasing glory. God's Spirit, who is in us, changes us as we see some of the glory of what Jesus has done. His humility, his willingness to endure suffering, his love for us. As we see things like that, we are transformed more and more to be like him without ever losing our individuality. We are transformed to be more and more like him with ever increasing glory. Genesis, it doesn't say from nothingness to glory. Ever increasing glory, that means that God right now describes you as glorious. You ever thought about that? That's the implication of those words, that it's ever increasing. There is some sense in which God looks at you now and says, glorious. Without you'd use those words about yourself. God would use those words about you if you're one of his people. This change, this transformation into his image is happening. It's happening even if you don't notice it. Maybe you don't notice it because the Lord is in a season of changing your heart, which will then flow out in a few years' time to changing your actions in noticeable ways. Maybe you don't notice it because you're too close to it. You can't see the ways the Lord is working because you're always you and you don't notice the incremental changes. The Lord is working to change you. The Christian life is not just another self-improvement narrative that leaves you feeling empty when you fail. It's not self-improvement at all. It's spirit improvement as he works in us to change us as we see Jesus' glory more and more. Becoming like Jesus flows from being in Jesus. Becoming like Jesus can't be done alone, and becoming like Jesus is our future reality. That is where we're heading. I don't know what your kind of go-to Bible verses are, verses that you go to again and again, verses that just make your heart sing. For me, the beginning of 1 John 3 are some of those verses. Let me just read two verses to you. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Those verses talk about a past thing, a present thing, and a future thing. A past thing. The Father has lavished love, great love, upon us. In the work of his Son, in bringing us into his family, in adopting us as his child, God has lavished his love on us. A present thing, a new identity for the now. We are children of God. If you know what it is to be raised in a family with loving parents who are supportive, which I know won't be the case for all of us, but if you know something of what that looks like, you will know the wonderful security that the relationship of child to parent is. When you mess up, you're not cast out. You're not shunned. You might be disciplined for your own good, but always from a place of love. So to us. We have a new identity. We are God's children now, even when we fail. When we fail to be like Jesus, our identity doesn't change. A past action leading to a present identity that guarantees a future reality. Because what we will be has not yet been made known. But when Christ appears, that future day when he comes back, we shall be like him. For we will see him as he is. We shall be like him. Those bursts of anger that you hate yourself for, that lack of self-control online that leaves you feeling guilty, ashamed, and empty, all those kind of things will be gone. Instead, you will be utterly, perfectly glorious. C.S. Lewis spoke of this. He spoke of the reality that will happen to all people, those who go to glory and those who are punished. Here's what he says about those who go to glory. The dullest and most uninteresting person you can talk to will, because it's one or other, but for those people who trust in the Lord Jesus, they will one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship. That is how glorious we will become. So different from what we are now, so gloriously different that if we saw what we would be, we'd be tempted to worship our future selves. That is the kind of transformation that we're talking about. That is what God will do. Because when we see him, we will be like him. For we will see him perfectly. We will be perfectly humble like him. We will be perfectly loving like him. We won't endure suffering like him, because there's no more suffering to endure. From next week, we're starting to look at John's Gospel together, which means that week after week, we're going to be meeting Jesus in the words of John's Gospel. We're going to be seeing his glory up close. As we go into that series, I wonder what you'll pray for. Here are three things. Pray that we'd marvel at who he is. Pray that we'd grasp the wonder of what he's done. And thirdly, pray that the Spirit would be at work as that happens. As we see the wonder of our Saviour, the glory of the Lord Jesus, pray that the Spirit would transform us to be more and more like the people we're going to be one day. John will show us in his gospel that Jesus is way, way more than just an example to follow. But he is never less than an example to follow. So, brothers and sisters, let's keep pressing on with our vision. Let's keep drawing everything we need from the vine. Let's keep remembering that we are in Jesus. Because becoming like Jesus only flows from being in him. And for those who are in Jesus, let's remember that we aren't doing it alone. By his Spirit, Jesus is at work in you, changing you to be more like himself. He is increasing in you humility that affects how you relate to one another, increasing in you deep, costly, sacrificial love for your brothers and sisters, increasing within you the ability to endure suffering when it comes your way. And he is doing that until the day when suffering will never need to be endured again and growth is no longer required, as our future reality is made known, and we shall be like him on that day, for we will see him as he is. Let me lead us in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you that we will one day be like Jesus. As we wait for that day, please, by your Spirit, grow in us humility, love, the ability to endure suffering, and many other things besides that we see perfectly in our Saviour. Please, as we draw from the vine, would you bear much fruit in our lives, we pray. Amen. As we close, let's sing a prayer to our Lord.